Burnout, mate, look, we doubled revenue every year for the first 5 years, doubled profits every year for the first 5 years, made Inc. 5000 list, and asked that question many times in other interviews, and I said I would never do it again. If I could turn back time, I would never do it again. But then I really started thinking a little bit more deeper about it. I would do it again, but I would have done it slower. I would have taken my time more. Instead of growing at 100% per year and burning out after 6-7 years, I would have only grown at 10% per year and made it more, the foundation stronger and more longer lasting.
Welcome to Investing in the US, a podcast for real estate investors, business owners, and aspiring entrepreneurs looking to grow their wealth by investing in US real estate. I'm your host, Reid Goossens, and so far, I've acquired over $800 million worth of investments on various properties across the United States. On this podcast, I interview go-getters, risk takers, and the best in the business to learn more about their investment journey and the cutting-edge strategies they are applying towards building a legacy. For more on growing your own wealth and by investing in the US, visit www.reidgoossens.com. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of chatting with Angelo Remora. Now, Angelo is a prominent real estate executive, investor, and CEO known for his remarkable achievements in real estate investments, as well as his diverse entrepreneurial ventures spanning various industries. I'm really pumped and excited to have him on the show today to share his incredible insight and knowledge. But enough out of me. Let's get him out here. G'day, Angelo. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today, mate?
Hey, mate, I'm good. How about yourself?
Very, very well. And also joining me on the show today is my business partner, Ben. So, Ben, you've snuck in on this episode. What's going on?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Well, look, I saw that you had a podcast here with Angelo, and we kind of came up in a similar way. I was doing the turnkey properties in the US and selling them to Australians through my company at the time. And he was doing a similar thing, but selling them to Americans. And we exchanged emails probably about, 8 or 9 years ago. And I just knew him from being in the space. And I just thought, hey, why not invite myself along? At least say hi. He's another Aussie. We can have some fun.
Well, mate, I thought it was because of my good looks, but I guess, it's more business related. So fair enough.
Yeah, no, it wasn't because of that, mate.
I'll be the moderator in the room, all right, with this sparring duo. Angelo, let's rewind the clock and tell me how you made your first ever dollar as a kid.
Mate, first ever dollar as a kid, I actually made it being a professional soccer player. I loved the game since I was 5 years old. I literally trained twice a day to achieve the dream. Quit school at the age of 14 to continue further pursuing that dream. So I guess I'm not the smartest and most sophisticated individual out there when it comes to any kind of formal education. And I was very fortunate enough to realize that dream of becoming a professional soccer player at the age of 18. And I would still count that as one of my most biggest achievements to date. I kind of decided to hang up the boots at a very young age because I didn't feel that I was going to be good enough to achieve the financial future that I was hoping I would from a very young age, the age of 5. Moved back to Australia, and what do you do now? You've got no formal education. And, being a WOG in Australia, what do all of us WOGs do, mate? We go to work in construction. So I was a laborer on commercial building sites in Australia. Did that for 4 years, made some very good money as a laborer, worked very hard, made some very good money. But what I did, mate, is I replaced the passion that I had for soccer with a passion for business, entrepreneurship, finance, stocks, anything related in regards to making money, right? And I always, even while I was sweeping those floors, I was still self-educating myself. And I always believed there's got to be a way where I can make my money work for me instead of me working for it. To shorten up the story, mate, bought a lot of properties in Australia, got into a ton of debt, realized that that wasn't the way to go. And I was bleeding money every single month on my mortgage repayments, more than I was gaining in income. The US real estate market came across my desk, and it was just once in a lifetime opportunity, mate. The Aussie dollar was one for one. The US market was at all-time lows. Literally a once in a lifetime opportunity, and decided to pack my bags one day, move here, and I guess the rest is history, mate. I stopped counting at 1,000 flips. I've got a Ohio cash flow turnkey company in Toledo, Oz Realty, a sister company of Ohio cash flow, which is property management brokerage, and I've invested in a lot of property all over the world, so I'm pretty diverse in that aspect. And yeah, mate, here I am with you two Aussie fellows also in the US I'm sure, a great story.
For those people who don't know what a WOG is, maybe tell us, explain what that is.
It's a Western Oriental gentleman, mate. No, so I always say it's, how there's a derogatory phrase towards WOG without papers. In Australia, if your parents are from Europe, like mine are from Croatia, then, you know, the derogatory terminology for that is WOG. But, you know, the beautiful thing about Australia, guys, as you know, we don't really have that much racism over there, if any. We're more prejudiced against ethnicities and religions and nationalities, but it's just more argy-bargy type stuff. It's not racism like there is here in the US. So yeah. I don't mind being called a WOG. I got thick skin.
That's awesome, my friend. Toledo, Ohio, not the first thing on the map that an entrepreneur would be drawn to. You know, I know Ben and myself, I lived in New York City. That's where I met Ben. Ben's got the background in his screen. He still lives there today. I live in Los Angeles. Why Toledo?
Because I knew you guys were going to be on the East Coast. That's why I went into the Midwest. I didn't want to bump into you there. No, mate. Look, I always joke around, like I told you before we started the show. You know, everyone asked me, what the hell is an Australian doing in Toledo, Ohio, out of all of the places? Not Cleveland or Cincinnati or Columbus. You had to go to the fourth or fifth biggest, you know, city in Ohio. Mate, look, before I moved to the US, you know, your network equals your net worth. So I already established a lot of relationships with a lot of people all over the US. I mean, I had a few relationships in Toledo at the time. And I initially got off the boat, as I like to joke around, in Kansas City. But I visited Toledo frequently. And then when I saw what you can buy there from a bang for your buck standpoint, I was just mesmerized. I really didn't know any other market in the US that offers, you know, such deals in such areas with such a cash flow. And I just started to jump ship from Kansas City to Toledo late 2013. Ohio Cash Flow was established in April of 2014. And, you know, we were off to the races.
Gotcha.
And this is back in the day when those properties were going for what, like 20 grand, but they were cash.
Oh, yeah, mate.
They were renting for like 1,200 bucks a month.
Oh, yeah, mate.
Right?
Yeah, they sold for 120 back in the day. We were buying them for $20,000 all day long. And we're talking about, you know, solid B-class areas. And what I would perceive as a B-class area is there's a lot of infrastructure supporting a tenant demand and homeowner demand. So, you know, in Toledo, we would have the Jeep factory, GM powertrain, Chrysler assembly. Stellantis took them over right now. So EV's big, as you guys know. Toledo University, ProMedica, Toledo Hospital, the biggest and richest employer in town. You know, well, the homes are well kept. The yards aren't overgrown. There's no boarded up homes. The tenants are employed. They have cars with wheels on them. You know what I mean? No one's got golden teeth. And look, property management doesn't collect rents with a bulletproof vest and shotgun. These are sophisticated enough individuals. They log online and they submit a rental payment. Again, it's Toledo, Ohio. It's a tertiary market. In my opinion, it's a pretty boring market. There's not much infrastructure growth like there is on the East Coast, West Coast. Texas and Florida's booming, so you're not going to get appreciation. But, you know, you do get that great return on investment in a decent blue-collar working-class neighborhood. So that's why we eventually went there, mate. Look, prices have increased now. It's what happened, mate, is for 10 years, everyone was investing everywhere else except Toledo, and I was getting laughed at. I'm having the last laugh now because I feel everyone and their bloody dingo dog is in Toledo right now. It's incredible. I can't believe it. Everyone wants Toledo after 10 years.
Just explain to the listeners what you mean by turnkey, because I think that's a phrase that, you know, we talk a lot about commercial real estate here. So what does turnkey mean in your eyes?
In my description, in my dictionary. Look, there's many different twists on it, but for me, turnkey has always been, we absolutely do everything from top to bottom, okay? And that's what I believe a true turnkey company should do. So find the asset, buy the asset, renovate the asset, sell the asset, and manage the asset. All in-house, all under one roof. All the investor has to do is invest, sit back, relax, and collect the rent. You look after collecting rents, distributions, evictions, maintenance, repairs. Of course, we still have to ask the investor for certain permissions on certain repair items above a certain dollar amount. But at the end of the day, you know, that's why people will invest through a company like ours, because we're established and we literally do absolutely every aspect of what it would take to successfully own an investment property.
This is in the single family realm, correct?
Just single family homes, mate. You know, we do the odd duplex. We have done the odd 4-unit, 6-unit, 8-unit. I remember losing my ass on those because I didn't know what I was doing. Now I'm a little bit smarter. So the last few that we did, you know, we did all right. I'm actually buying a 6-unit now too, which is a great little deal. So yeah, but mostly single family homes, mate. That's been our bread and butter.
Yep. Now, talk to us, and Ben, I want your opinion on this as well. And where I first met you was through the boom of turnkey. And it feels like it's been the flavor of the month, particularly around in the starter investments. You don't know you want to own real estate. You don't know where to start. You don't know how to go out and buy your own thing. But then there's a lot of turnkey providers. And I haven't been in this space recently to know if that sort of died down a little bit. But probably back in what, 13, 14, 15, 16, there was a like everywhere you looked, from Kansas to Toledo to Texas to Florida, there was a turnkey provider there providing single family, what you're saying, going buying, fixing, selling, and then managing these assets for that sort of starter investor. How does the landscape look these days?
So, I mean, look, you know, my take on this is, you know, like round about 2012, I probably had a similar experience to Angelo here. And a lot of people did. You started looking at these properties that were worth, you know, 100 grand and now worth 20 or worth 250 grand. Now they're worth, you know, 40 grand. And the numbers were just very compelling. And there was a whole bunch of stuff in the news. Like I think Warren Buffett was there saying, like, if there was a way to buy a million single family homes, I would do it. And that wasn't possible at the time. Now you've got companies like Invitation Homes and others that are doing that. But there was a huge feeding frenzy. And there were a lot of foreign groups coming in. Foreign like nationals were buying properties. My business was helping Australians purchase these exact properties in the US. But there were a lot of people in America that you know, saw the opportunity as well and wanted to jump in. And there was a huge feeding frenzy for a number of years that, you know, died down a little bit. And, you know, there were a million companies doing turnkey. And, you know, now there's a lot less. I haven't been as heavily involved in the industry for the best part of 5 or 6 years now. So, you know, I think it's the time to hand over to Angela here, who can tell us about the past and then loop us in on the present day.
Yeah, no, mate, look, and 100% agreed. But what I think happened, and as we kind of discussed before we started recording, is they just got burnt by a lot of these operators, you know. And again, what is a true turnkey company? A true turnkey company is one that has everything under the same roof, including property management. And I remember, and even to this day, there are still a lot of turnkey companies with a different twist on it, where they have third-party property management companies. And we know that usually third-party property management companies are known to nickel and dime, and you can't blame them for it because they need to make ends meet. They need to feed. And they charge these little ridiculous fees in order to make ends meet. And then, you know, what the turnkey provider would promise on paper would never really be achieved in real life. So that's a way investors got burnt. Another way they got burnt is a lot of marketing companies, as in, you know, sales channels, were just pushing product left, right, and center. I'm established in LA or New York. I've got a podcast. I'm doing all of these talking about passive income and cash flow in the Midwest in Ohio, and then putting my brand, the name behind someone doing a shit job in Ohio, and then investors will get burnt, right? So, you know, right now, mate, look, it's not like it was before. I feel there's less volume, but I, as the owner of a higher cash flow, never really focused on volume that much. I always had a vision of keeping the business boutique, small and exclusive. So, you know, we've stood the test of time, mate. We're still here. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We screw up, but it's an honest mistake. We pay for it. We fix it. I mean, I think just standing the test of time in a very, 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 very scarred industry, I think turnkey real estate is like a stigma. You know, because people really do get burnt, they get screwed. They buy properties for more than what they're worth in shitty areas, and they get passed on to a third property management company that nickel and dimes them to death. So it's a scarred industry. But yeah, mate, look, there's definitely less of them now. But I think the true turnkey providers, the proper turnkey providers that have everything in-house, all on the one roof, there's a lot of them that are still in business today. But I also know a lot of them that are not in business anymore either.
Right, right.
No, there's a lot of them that are... that had troubles. I remember near the end of my career in the industry, I started getting as many calls for people trying to sell their turnkey properties yep. as buy them. And a lot of exactly echoing you, a lot of these marketing companies would come along and just sell the dream of passive income and everything. And yep. people thought that it was going to be 100% truly passive. But like you said, there's third party property management, even if it's in-house, sometimes they're not very good. And all of a sudden, this investment people thought was going to be passive. It's like, well, why am I chatting to you on the phone every week? Like, this was supposed to be something that, you know, saved me time and made me money. And now it's like a huge hassle. And now, oh my gosh, the property management company's gone out of business or they're changing over. And now I've got to find a new one. Well, now I've got to like start vetting providers. And well, Ben, I'm an artist in Miami. You know, I'm not a real estate yeah. guy.
Look, it's never really passive. It's never really completely passive. Again, you know, we have to reach out to the investor to get certain approvals on certain things when it comes to a property management standpoint. So nothing is ever really passive. Even if you invest in the safest investment in the world, which is 30-year US Treasury bonds, it's still not going to be passive because you need to monitor the economic climate of what's going on in the market. And you need to come to conclusions if your money is better invested elsewhere, right? So nothing is ever really fully passive. But exactly what you're saying, you know, property management, and I'll just touch on this quickly. We used to focus 70% of our efforts on the turnkey business and 30% on property management. We flipped that around. 70% of our focus now is on property management and 30% is on turnkey. So we've opened up the doors to our property management company. We're scaling. My goal for this year is systemize, optimize, and monetize. Because anyone, in my opinion, anyone can find, buy, renovate, and sell a property. It's not that difficult if you're in the industry long enough. What is very hard to do and almost impossible, and that is to manage well and manage successfully long-term, to have a streamlined property management operation. And I think that goes across the board in turnkey, in multifamily, commercial, you name it.
I think also as a provider, and you can tell me, the hunting for the deal and getting that fee once you do all the work in markets that start to decline, it's all really well and good where everything's an uptick and you shoot in any direction and you can make money on the purchase, that is. You start to get a little tired of that when the market starts to pull back, which we've seen in the last 12 to 18 months when interest rates have gone from nearly zero up to 5%. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's 500% growth, right? So it's really slowed the industry down. And now you need something, a business that is in the home services business, which is maintaining these things, because people still need to pay rent. They still need someone to go out and check on the HVAC system. They still need the plumbing work done. And that's never going to go away. So I think it's sort of nearly de-risking your business by bringing that extra arm into it and creating a more vertically integrated company.
100% Reed. Food and shelter are the two most important things to humanity. Until Elon Musk sends us to Mars, you're going to need a roof over your head, right? I hated property management, guys, for the first 5 years. I hated my life. We couldn't figure this out for anything. And I probably made every mistake known to mankind in property management for the first 5 years. Thank God there's only one mistake that I was competent enough to not make, and that is touch the trust account. Because if you touch that, that's literally jail time. You cannot, you know, F with the trust account. But, you know, fast forward 5 years, which is, you know, 5 years ago, we got some great people on board. We figured out how to use AppFolio as a property management software. We integrated digital lockboxes, self-showing lockboxes. We're just working on incorporating Property Meld, which is a automated maintenance software, which corresponds with the tenants and the technicians and organizes the time. You know, I'm including a variety of other things like a quicker background check. And whatnot. Again, systemize, optimize, monetize, affiliate services, mandatory renters insurance, et cetera, et cetera. Look, the revenue's predictable. It's recession proof. No matter what's going on in the economy, like we had in 10 years, we had one of our lowest vacancies during COVID, which is mind boggling to me. And that's because of all of the government subsidies. Everyone's at home. They're not spending any money. So they were all paying the rent on time, you know, but 100% agreed, mate. You know, now I love the business. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. And it's also not just a scalable business, but it's actually the book of the business is worth value. Mm-hmm. Like Ohio cash flow is not worth shit. If you take Angela Moore out of Ohio cash flow, Ohio cash flow doesn't exist in a way. Mm-hmm. But property management is valuable because in a way it works without my presence. You know, so there's value to have there. One day, if you are looking at an exit, you can probably sell it for 1.2 to 1.5x, not much, which is disappointing to me. Again, it's not a tech company, but still, it's not a bad day to get rewarded for 10, 15, 20 years of work in a specific niche.
I think that's really important to talk about is the removing yourself and creating an enterprise business rather than you as the special source in the business, you know, buying and selling and, you know, flipping properties, because there's only so much of that you can do. You're a human, not a machine. So I think that's really well said. Ben and I have been at the coalface of using third-party property managers. It's a thankless business. What we have seen on our end is multiple, you know, stuff about being the client. And then the biggest thing I find, and looking at the property management business from an outside, you're a HR company. Your ability to attract good talent will make or break you. If you can't attract good talent, I don't care how good you are as a leader of the company, then the company's never going to go anywhere. So how have you gone about attracting good talent into your organization to make your property management business more thankful? Because let's face it, property management is a thankless business. No one really wants to do it.
I've said it forever, mate. Look, you're very thankless business. You've got tenants complaining things aren't getting fixed quickly enough, landlords complaining things are costing too much to fix, and then maintenance personnel completely unreliable. Look, that's a question that if I figured out, I probably have a multi-billion dollar company right now. I'd have a unicorn. I was never, ever, ever really good at hiring, training, retaining talent, being that empathetic, diplomatic individual. You know, I would always jump on someone's throat if they weren't doing the right job. And as you can imagine, that's not good for business and it's not good for the company. So hand up, I'm at fault there. Granted, I've matured. I'm different now. But the saving grace for me was, Reed and Ben, a couple of years ago when I just burnt out. I was done, mate. You know, kidney stones, stomach ulcers, anxiety. I didn't want to do it anymore. And I literally just wanted to sell and you know, sail off into the sunset. I took a bit of a breather. I did. I'll say that. You know, for a couple of years, I spent more time finding myself meditating, praying, reading philosophy, various religions, Catholicism, the Quran. And it just made me, without getting too evangelistic here, made me a better person, more calm individual. And again, with the years of experience, you become smarter too. Mate, and anyway, saving grace for me was virtual assistants, remote workers. Mm. That was the saving grace for me at the time, because that was my last Hail Mary. And we pulled it off, mate. And I've done the traction. I can see that behind the book, the Gino Wickman traction, rocket fuel, tried it, did it, loved it. What if your integrator leaves? You know what I mean? And it happened to me on three times. What if your integrator embezzles $250,000 from your company? Happened to me. I stopped counting at $2 million in losses to employees and contractors. You know what I mean? So I was burnt out on people too. And I love people, mate. I love people. I wish I could have a company with great people. Virtual assistants were the saving grace. They literally, we spent 3 months recording every little nut and bolt of our entire business model. We hired two from the start. They did the job very well. While we were sleeping, they were working. While we were working, they were working. Incredible. If for whatever reason, one of these individuals would leave, there was a backup trained immediately to step in, didn't skip a beat, no turnover, no Wise hire, no LinkedIn job posts, nothing. Saving grace, mate. We've added more virtual assistants to the operation. But look, I've got four great people that have been with me for a very long time now, 8 years, 6 years, 3 years, that are my rock, that are my foundation. Lana, for example, the godmother of the company. You know, Dominique, the co-founder of Ohio Castro and everything. So we've got a good bunch of people. We just brought two more people on board. I've got high hopes, but I've always been let down. So I kind of, you know, I'm always a little bit hesitant, but it's hard, mate. It's very tough. And don't forget, guys, we're in Toledo, a lower socioeconomic demographic. It's not easy to find motivated people that want more for themselves and their loved ones. And that's what pissed me off the most, is like the shit that you and I and us had to do to get to this country, the best country in the world. God bless America, mate. I'll kiss the floor. I love it so much. The shit that we had to do to get here, people already here and they can't take the bull by the horns and make something for themselves and their loved ones. That's just mind-boggling to me. And that's why I was very aggressive at the time and jumping at people's throats, is because forget about me, forget about my company. It's about you, your life, your future, your family. Do a good job for you. When I was sweeping floors, guys, as a contractor in Sydney, I used to do tricks with the broom. I swept the floors the best I could because I believed one day I'm going to be working for myself. And if I do a good job here, perfect job sweeping the floors, I'll replicate that in my business and I'll try and do a perfect job in my business or whatever else I'll be doing one day.
Yeah, no, love it. Not necessarily a perfect job. It's just doing it with intention and yes, to the best of your ability.
Yes.
You know, as you mentioned earlier, we all make mistakes. We're human. Correct. So that's awesome. Pivoting just a little bit, talking about that burnout, I guess the question's around, like, we all face it, right? We all, as entrepreneurs, we're building something of scale. We've got ideas in our head of where we want it to go. And then there's just the reality of trying to put it, you know, put pen to paper or rubber to the road. Then, you know, life then comes by. So what are some of the lessons that you took out of taking a little bit of time away that helped you remotivate the fire within you to come back and push on and keep going?
Yeah. So burnout, mate, look, we doubled revenue every year for the first 5 years, double profits every year for the first 5 years, made Inc. 5000 list, won entrepreneurial awards. I had 50 full-time staff and a couple hundred, you know, 1099 contractors. And asked that question many times in other interviews. And I said, I would never do it again. If I could turn back time, I would never do it again. But then I really started thinking a little bit more deeper about it. I would do it again, but I would have done it slower. I would have taken my time more. Instead of growing at 100% per year and burning out after 6-7 years, I would have only grown at 10% per year and made it more the foundation stronger and more longer lasting.
Oh, lad, that's an ego thing nearly, isn't it? Like, you want to grow. Everyone wants to freaking double their rev.
It is an ego thing.
Look how good I am. Pound my chest.
Yeah, you get caught up in keeping up with the Joneses. You get caught up in American capitalism. You get caught up in the Instagram bullshit, and that's what I got caught up in. I wasn't looking to grow. So nowadays, I've changed. When I'm at the gym, mate, I don't look at the guy next to me. As long as I get better every day and fit, I'm not competing with anyone else. I compete against myself. Big mental shift. So it's no longer about what another company is doing. It's more about how can we make us better a little bit, just a little bit. And if we can make ourselves better a little bit every year, you're either green and growing or ripe and rotting, right? You've always got to be in a little bit of an incline, But if you're stagnant, eventually you decline with inflation and everything, deterioration. But mate, look, for me, again, what saved my life in a way, and I know it might sound bloody weird, it's meditation, you know, mindful meditation, no mantras, no religious BS, just focusing on the breath. I started doing 10 minutes. I got up to 30 minutes. It just made, it put me in a different space of mind, mate, more calm. Stoicism, read a lot on philosophy, Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, Epictetus, Musonius Rufus, some of the greats of the past, how they reacted, how they lived their lives. I love the teachings of Jesus. Again, not being evangelistic here, but some amazing sayings to be pulled out of that. And I pray in the morning. I pray before lunch. I pray in the evening. And what it does, mate, is it just puts me in a level of calm, peace, serenity. Because on a daily basis, shit's going wild, right? Everyone's running around with like a chicken without a head. Again, God bless America. It's the best country in the world, but it does not stop, guys. You know, in Australia, as you know, we switch off at 3 p.m. and it's barbecue time. You know what I mean? But here it's nonstop. Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, nonstop. So, you know, it's what I'm doing now is I just, again, I don't get sucked in by that. I focus more on a different routine, wake up, pray, gym, meditate, lunch, pray. I'm still working hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm still pushing 8, 9, 10 hours a day, you know. So, but yeah, I have to stick to that routine because before I would get up at 5. I'd be in the office. I literally slept in my office in the basement. I would be in the office at 5:30. I would have Red Bull and coffee for breakfast. No exercise, no meditation, in meetings all day, hustling till like 6 or 7 p.m. I was literally doing 100 hours a week. And that was a recipe for disaster. It was just a matter of time before I would explode.
Yep. I completely agree. And it's very something that I see a lot on this podcast where a lot of people get to that point and they have to focus on, you know, just the inner peace, inner quiet, and taking some time every day. You know, it doesn't have to be a long period of time, but just to focus on shutting off the internal clock, the internal chatter. And one of the things I've done, you know, I get sucked down the Instagram and the hole, and I've got to delete that app from my phone from Mondays to Fridays. Otherwise, I just get sucked into doing it. So, yeah, being mindful is so important. As we come to pivot to the end of the show, what is your – I ask a lot of people these days who come on the show, what's your sort of future look like in your opinion on where the US is going in terms of the Fed fund rates, and how are you preparing for all that, you know, coming into 2024 and beyond?
Mate, great question. So, look, I've gone – all in, guys. All of my eggs are in one basket. Like literally my entire net worth is in an ETF called DPST. It's a 3x leveraged exchange traded fund for regional banks. So I'm definitely not diversified, mate. So it's either going to be, they'll be naming buildings after me, or I'm going to be a broke ass honky, as the Americans would say. I think that in a way answers your question of what I believe in regards to the future of American economy. And I stalk CNBC all day and every day. You know, the inflation coming out, we just had the PMI come out today. It's a little bit hotter than expected. You can see a downtrend of what's going on over the last 6 months. You know, Mr. Powell, I don't know if I hate him or love him, but I think he's doing a good job. He's sticking to his guard. He's probably going to keep the rates on hold for a little bit longer. I'm hoping, of course, from a biased and selfish standpoint, that we're going to start seeing a reduction in those rates towards the second part of this year. And I'm hoping that maybe he gets a little bit influenced by the election, which might happen. So he might have to drop those rates. Look, as soon as those rates drop, mate, there's a lot of pent-up demand. I feel the market's going to boom. It's just going to explode in every shape and form. People aren't buying right now because they're locked into low interest rates. People aren't selling right now because they're locked into low interest rates. People aren't buying right now. Interest rates are too high, so they can't borrow as much as they want to. As soon as that starts tapering off, I think you're going to have a big boom. Across the board, AI is already booming. That's just going to throw gasoline to the fire. And then my crystal ball analysis says we probably got a couple of years in boom market. Let's see if I'm right. And then it all falls to shit. And I don't know how, and I don't know why. Same as it did with COVID. You know, we had a bull run for 12 years. No one knew. Everyone thought, you know, it's never going to end. But if you look at history over the last 100 years, every 7 to 10 years, we do have a downturn for whatever reason. So, yeah, I would start getting maybe very worried in 2 or 3 years of a let's say, once the Federal Reserve starts tapering off those interest rates. But that's kind of my prediction. So we'll see, guys.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Mate, at the end of every show, we like to dive into the top 5 investing tips. You ready to get into it?
All right, mate. You got me. You got me worried.
Question number one is, what's the daily habit you practice to keep on track towards your goals?
Daily habit I practice, I don't stop until I get everything done. Whatever everything is in my mind. So sometimes that can take a while. But yeah, I just don't want to stop until I feel accomplished and fulfilled that I've done a good job that day.
Gotcha. Question number two is, who's been the most influential person in your career to date?
God, Jesus.
Question number three is, what's the most influential tool in your business? And when I say tool, it could be a physical tool like a phone or a journal, or it's a piece of software that you just can't run the business without. What is it?
Bloody hell. I mean, it's got to be the bloody laptop. No, I mean, there's a lot of them, mate. Look, there's a lot of them. Slack, Podio, MailChimp. Those are the three that we actively use.
Question number four is, in one sentence, what's been the biggest failure in your career? What did you learn from that failure?
The biggest failure in my career would be focusing on thinking that making more money and focusing on satisfying your ego will make you happy.
Mm.
But it doesn't. It's all bullshit, mate. Love is the most important thing. Love is the most powerful emotion, and love beats all. So I think that, yeah, we all focus on money too much and ego, again, competing with the guy over to us. But instead, we should just focus on our loved ones being happy as much as we can on a daily basis, because life is short. And you never know when it's going to be your last.
No, it's very interesting on this show, after doing it for so many years, how many people hit those highs of success in business to only realize that that's just one pillar. It's just one pillar. And if you build everything up on one pillar and it crumbles, the only way you're going to go is down. So awesome stuff. Mate, last question is, where can people reach you to continue the conversation? That'll be in your sphere. Where do they go?
Yeah, mate, look, Google's your best friend, right? So Google Angelo Remora or OhioCashflow.com, OzRealty.house. Happy to help in any way, or if nothing else, at least point me in the right direction.
Awesome stuff, my friend. Well, thank you so much for taking some time. Addy Daddy, tune in. Just want to reflect some of the things that I took away from today's show. I think the ability to, you know, look at opportunities and take the bull by the horns. You mentioned that a couple of times, you know, going from being a Sydney laborer, moving to Kansas City, which is definitely not on the map for any Australian. And maybe you're the first Australian from Sydney that would ever go to move straight to Kansas City, and then into Toledo, Ohio, where you've really created a business that is around sustainability of future growth. And I think what you said earlier about focusing less on the double, the triple digits sort of growth, and focusing more on sustainability. As much as that probably was an inner ego thing, it's helped you realize and quieten down that inner mind to be able to now reevaluate what you find is most important in today's life, and then build a business around that. So did I leave anything out?
No, brilliant, mate. 100% agreed. Quality over quantity in everything you do.
Ben, anything you want to sign off, my friend?
Yeah. Look, I don't know if we're going to make it to Toledo anytime soon, but you know, you make it to New York or LA, and we can have a pint and a chicken parmy somewhere and talk about Australia.
I don't blame you, guys. I don't blame you. I'll come and visit you. Don't worry.
Well, awesome stuff, my friend. I want to thank you so much for jumping on today's show. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up very, very soon. Well, there you have another cracking episode jam-packed with some incredible advice from Angelo. Remember, please go and Google his name anywhere. That's E-N-G-L-O, Rumora. It's R-U-M-O-R-A. Check out his companies in Ohio. We want to thank you all again for taking some time out of your day to tune in to continue to grow your financial IQ, because that's what we're all about here on this show. Now, if you do like this show, the easiest way to give back is to give it a 5-star review on iTunes. All the notes from today's show will be up on my website at reedgoosens.com, and we're going to do this all again next week. So remember, be bold, be brave, and go give life a crack.